coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's the first day of July. What do you think of that? First day of July, 2020. Eric the Tech, how are you doing?
Great.
All right. Had to check with Eric the Tech.
Busy on your book?
That's right.
Hint.
Yep. Book.
Weren't you going to release that last year?
I was. But, yeah, for those who don't know yet, book coming out.
It's going to be good. We're putting a lot of time into it.
Right.
Or I should say you.
I had a lot of time, a lot of effort, based on, true events. And it's not necessarily a sequel. It's a standalone for, on its own. In the Dark of Night is the title. In the Dark of Night. If you want to get just kind of a sneak peek at the, what it's going to look like, go to Douglas J. Hagman, 2Ns.com. That's just a hint, hint. You don't have to put anything up. It's just, for those who caught that, that's where you can kind of just look at the cover. It really doesn't have a lot, other than that. It's, yeah. So I expect it to be out on the 20th. That's if everything goes according to plan. Has it gone according to plan? No. But will it? I suspect it will. All right. By the way, I got to tell you this, Eric the Tech. Let's start this off with a little bit of a, somewhat of a laugh. I want to tell you that during the night, I have my own bedroom for reasons, obviously, not to disturb my wife. And anyway, so my dog and I mean, we hang together. So Lady the Studio Dog. I mean, we're sleeping. She sleeps next to me. And sometimes we sleep back to back. And if you ever read about dog behavior, sleeping with an owner back to back, that's really a cool thing that happens. All right. But anyway, last night she got turned around and, I thought I was being attacked by Antifa. I don't know. It was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. About the time I was about ready to get up, and what happened was I had to sleep on my side. Long story, but because of injections in my hip, and anyway, so I'm sleeping on my side, and lady, instead of her back to me, it was facing me. Okay, except she was sideways. She loves to sleep on the bed sideways. Meaning that her back paws were on my chest. And at that moment, when she was sleeping, she must have been dreaming about chasing or herding or something. Herding like, you know, cattle, because she's a cattle, in Australian cattle. And man, was she running in her sleep. So I was getting a thumping. I was. Eric the Tech, what do you think? Because, you know, Theo, your dog is, he's pint-sized dog. I love the guy. Boy, Theo's intelligent. So is Lady. But what do you think of that? It's like CPR without the PR. But anyway. Yeah. So I have to say that was an exciting evening. Again, I thought I was getting beat up by Antifa. You know, the Antifa weaklings. All right. Great show lined up for you. By the way, it seems that here's the recipe, to take down or to make sure that places like Chop or Chaz are taken down. You go to the mayor's house and, you extend the protest or the riotous behavior to the mayor's house. Why is that, you say? Well, that causes this communist mayor, you know, the Summer of Love mayor, right? Summer of Love. Ordered Chaz, actually, to be taken down. So it was at 5 a.m. today, local time. Resistance was light, as one would expect. Black Lives Matter rioter, this separately now, charged with attempted murder after opening fire at motorist crossing roadblock in Utah. You see, okay, they now, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they are arming themselves. And there was a shipment, interestingly enough, of gun parts coming in from China that was flagged in Florida. I don't know how many people saw that. But I do suspect, in based on my research, my investigation, that there are arms and parts, parts being shipped from China into the United States for the purpose of domestic violence here or violence here within the United States. Just to let you know. I have a video I'd like everyone to take a look at. This morning, of course, in New York City. I don't know how many people have seen this already. This morning, I'm not going to say protesters, these communist thugs attempted to take over or erect barriers around the city hall in New York City. Here's what happened, in case you missed it. Do we have that at the ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play it.
No vocal audio. So
yeah, I'm going to kind of narrate this. Right. All right. So watch your screen. So there's no really no audio outside of what you hear. That's kind of a stupid thing to say. There's no one's talking through this. If you're listening on the radio, what you're seeing is just this massive crowd, a mixture of police and communists in New York City erecting barricades or having erected barricades around City Hall to occupy it, much like Chaz in the Pacific Northwest. Now that they're trying it here in New York City. Well, the police are not having any of it, and of course they move in. What you're seeing here is the police moving in to remove the barricades. As if you need this narrated, right? Let's watch for a minute. This video is about halfway through. I'll put the link in the program description box. You get the idea. The barricades were moved. The people were pushed back. And the attempts at blockading this area at this time was not successful. Now, the intelligence that we had, and I've been speaking with people including Randy Taylor. How'd you like that episode yesterday with Randy Taylor? He's coming back tomorrow. We're going to be talking about that and other things, potential violence here this summer, and about what to expect, and some things that we need to do. But here's a guy, boots on the ground, in the field, Randy Taylor. And if you haven't seen that segment, go back in fact, go to Hagman Report Live. It's in the popular segments or YouTube. It's the first hour from yesterday. He's coming back tomorrow. So it's going to be a good segment tomorrow. Now, I want to thank the fine folks at Lightstream. Folks, did you know that refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money? And you don't have to be a financial expert to do it. Get a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream and you could save thousands in interest. I know that we have. Rates start at 5.95% APR with AutoPay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card. The average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Think of all the money you can save with Lightstream. Or if you're a glass half empty kind of person, think of all the money you're paying out with your high interest credit card rates, right? Lightstream can fix all of that. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a much better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Now, here's what they have fixed for listeners of the Hagmann Report. My listeners can apply today for a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagmann, and that's two N's on Hagmann. That is LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagmann. Now, this is subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagmann for more information. All right. One more thing before we get to Dr. Proctor. This is really going to, this might blow your mind. In my research, there is a document. Now, I received this some time ago, and then I received this again, I'm going to say maybe a month and a half ago, and I was reminded of it earlier this morning. There is a Rockefeller Foundation document, and Eric's going to put this on the screen. The title of this document is Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. That's a mouthful, but there it is. Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. Now, this is authored by the Rockefeller Foundation, partnered with GBN, Global Business Network. Now, if you scroll down on that just a tad and look at the date, or scroll. Yeah, I think it is. Scroll down. Stop. Look at that. This report was produced by the Rockefeller Foundation and Global Business Network May 2010, a decade ago. All right. Let's skip to page 18 of this PDF, shall we? Well, let's go. Page 18. And it's got some nice, you know, letters and endorsements. And, oh, yeah, this is a think tank report. And by the name, what would you be thinking? It's technologically, you know, it's about technology, right? Okay. Well, up a little bit. There you go, right there. We get into various scenarios in this particular.
I apologize for that.
That's all right. I'll teach you numbers, you know, tomorrow. What are you apologizing for?
I just thought we were going to show the top. I didn't know where we were going. I would have had that ready.
No worries.
It's like a 200-page document. It's
lengthy. But I want you to take a look at that top. Scenario narratives. And notice the two words, lockstep. And ruminate, if you will, on that lockstep. Seriously, think about what this means. A world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation. And what's that last part? And growing citizen pushback. Now, I'm not going to read the entire, you know, section, but I want you to take a look. If you scroll down a little bit, take a look at this scenario. And by the way, when the think tanks write about things, although this is dated May 2010, they're writing about a future event, but they're writing as if it occurred in the past. Do you follow me on that? So May 2010, this is published. They're actually writing about a future event, something taking place in the future, but they're writing as if it already took place. Think tank, programming, intelligence agencies, not just the CIA, but the Five Eyes. And by the Five Eyes, obviously the five global intelligence agencies. But just take a look at the first beginning of the first paragraph. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Okay. Eric, have we been anticipating a pandemic? Have we? I don't know. I don't know. But unlike 2009's H1N1, the new influenza strain, isn't that interesting? Originating from wild geese, you might as well put bats, owls, you know, monkeys, was extremely virulent and deadly. Does that sound familiar? Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world. It streaked around the world, that's right, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing a million in just 7 months. Well, all right, not this time. Okay. You can read further. Now, hold on, because in the next, let's see here. This next section here, right here, the pandemic also had a deadly effect on economics. What have we seen? It's not the pandemic having the effect on economics. It's the response to it. And look at this next sentence, or the next part of this sentence. International mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt, debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Sorry. And this is written in May of 2010, as if it was a future event, pinning it back in 2012. Now, what do you think about this? Folks, put your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. But what do you think about that? Now, you can continue. There's some relevant points in here. But what this is saying, I'm not going to read anymore. Let's see, is there anything to say? Well, I can cite this. Yeah, obviously, this came from China. Africa was hit especially hard. Let's see here. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency. Accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the United States, but across borders. What did we see? What was recommended to President Trump initially? Okay, you've got to remember, President Trump, here's a guy, he's getting information from supposedly the world's top experts, acting upon the best information available to him, which means the best information or the best propaganda available to him, and acting upon that. So at first, let's just discourage people. All right. And what are we hearing now? Well, President Trump, he's got blood on his hands, the blood of 140,000 Americans on his hands because he didn't act quick enough. He didn't do anything about it. Well, at first, the very people, and you got to put that back up because I'm going to cite one more thing on it. At first, the very people who are yipping and yapping right now, he didn't do enough, were the ones urging him not to do anything. But here it is in writing, 2010. And this is not the only publication like this. Is this coincidental? Is this an accident? No. The Rockefeller Foundation. Now, you want to know who in the hell is in control? And by the way, Dr. Proctor, I'm going to ask him about the Rockefeller Foundation. Because in his book, in his Liberty series, he talks about this organization and others like it. So, you see, this is not just, oh, time wasting, time filling stuff to talk about, you know? The Liberty series. Oh my gosh, would you quit hawking books because I know everything? Well, wait a second. Wait a second. This is from 2010, May. We're in July of 2020. This is over a decade old, and they're telling us exactly what they planned. Now, this is framed, again, as a think tank, scenarios. But to what end? Lockstep. Did you notice that phrase, that section for lockstep? You talk about authoritative rule? Create the pandemic or create the response to the pandemic. This is lockstep. A world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. What do you make of that? Scenario narratives. And folks, I'll put the link to this. I have the PDF. I can upload it to a server somewhere to a Scribd account or whatever. But you really need to take a look at some of these NGO/think tank documents, because it tells you pretty much everything that's taking place. But the Rockefeller Foundation. And this also has, when you look at the larger picture to everything, would you see the chaos that's taking place right now? Whether it's in the Pacific Northwest or it's New York City or whatever. I mean, pick a city. It's coming to you. When you look at the chaos, it's all being mapped out. There's a scenario for just about everything. And there it is. It's 10 years ago. There's a scenario for, titled Lockstep. There's a scenario for Civil War. It covers everything. There's a much bigger picture to what we're seeing right now. There's a huge picture to what we're seeing right now. And there it is. I mean, I really wanted people to see that. I think it's important. I think it's critical that people understand that what we're seeing today has been planned for at least 100 years. Obviously not to the extent that we're seeing it, or not with the precision that we're seeing it today. The plans of, or the things that we're seeing today have been planned more recently in the last decade, again, like this. But there it is. So I just, again, understand that this is much bigger than anything you can imagine. And although the Rockefeller Foundation is, that's just one aspect. If you didn't catch my presentation from last week, the chalkboard presentation, understand that there's a lot of people behind people like Soros, a lot of people even behind the Rockefellers, the Committee of 300, for example, I had mentioned. And then you've got the Trilateral Commission, and you've got the CFR and such. And you've got the globalists like the late Zbigniew Brzezinski and others, okay? But others have taken their place. This is where it all comes about. And again, I mentioned about Dr. Richard Proctor writing about this in his Liberty series, because he exposes that power structure. And sure, you can go online. I did this earlier. I think it was volume 4. I'm not sure. No, I don't recall which volume, but I looked at some of the articles that he had reprinted to support his assertions, his writings. And the articles, I think I was looking for four, a total of four, and two were absolutely expunged from the internet. One I found at a different link, a different hyperlink, which was copied from the original source. So what he did was he preserved that information and provides it in his book, in his series, Liberty series. That's really important for people to understand. I'm not going to keep him waiting any longer. Dr. Richard Proctor, I don't know whether you heard that or not, but I was extolling the virtues of your Liberty series because it is so important. As I showed the document from 2010 May from the Rockefeller Foundation about, the authoritarian rule in the section of a paper, the section titled Lockstep and what we're seeing today. So. I just wanted, thanks for giving me the time. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I tell you what, I'm absolutely furious. 2010, absolutely furious that I don't have that in my book. It's terrible what these people are doing. And it's not a coincidence, not a surprise. It's not Rockefeller in his, one of his page 205, I believe it is. People are accusing me of working towards a one world government. I am proud to say I am guilty. You talked about Brezhnev a minute ago. Oh my, these people just loaded the thing against us. We had an assistant president to Wilson. We had an assistant president to Nixon. Oh, you guys, you don't understand what's happening to us. I'm furious that this is going on. I just can't be angry. My teeth are being gritted all the time. I read that thing about the planned pandemic. Iron Mountain Conference. People don't know about that either. They have the Iron Mountain somewhere on the East Coast around the Carolinas. I've got the report. They sit down. How do we keep government control during a peaceful time? Well, we got to find bad things to happen. Let's use the space. Oh, that's too difficult. Let's use the environment. Oh, that'll work. So they started that in the 70s, and we've been gullibly soaking it up ever since. It's all lies. It's terrible. Edward Griffin's book, Creature of Jekyll Island, talks about the Iron Mountain Conference. It's absolutely horrid. It's all out there to be found if anybody knew where it was. Well, that's what my book's about. I want people to know what's going on. That's what the Liberty Series is. You don't. Oh, I just infuriated that these things are going on, and everybody says, "Well, it's okay, you know, it'll pass. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Stay 6 feet apart. It'll be okay." Oh dear me, we are being suckered into changing our entire culture, and we're being suckered into it by the media and by the government, and these guys go around rioting. Oh, another coincidence. Never, not so. It's all planned. They probably planned it out a year ago by date. Probably planned it out by date. And they're sitting back saying, boy, it's working better than we thought. Wow. And I've been lecturing about militias to protect your society, and nobody's doing it. And you think it's not going to happen? As soon as they finish the big places, or not even before they finish, they're going to come streaking down to the little places. They want control. They want destruction. They want to destroy our country. They want to destroy our Constitution. And we are ignoring the facts, the stuff that's out there. Oh, my, I can't get... Oh!
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Let's start tomorrow so I can get calmed down. Oh, my.
I'm telling you, it's very frustrating. We are seeing the implementation, I think, of the final push against our republic. And I, you know what? Between now and the day after the election, I think it's the most dangerous time in American history. Of late, and I see bad things coming. And you know, over the weekend,
Doug,
go ahead.
Just a minute. You said between now and the day after the election,
if
the election goes with Trump, it'll continue beyond that for 4 years, or until the country is completely destroyed.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, the planned destruction of the United States is going to take place. They're going to try to do this. It doesn't matter who's going to be elected. If it's Donald Trump, it's going to be more of what we see now. If it's Biden or
the other guys,
yeah, whoever that might be. And I don't think I'm much too sure about Biden, but we're going to see a hastier tactic.
It won't be quite so many riots and things against the government. It'll be against people who are not in lockstep, and they've built concentration camps already.
Yes.
They call them FEMA camps. Yeah. They've built them already. They have massive places they've dug up and put massive containers for disposing of massive amounts of bodies.
You know, people will poo-poo that. And a guy with your credential, I mean, you're a very well-credentialed guy. You're a very, I don't want to say normal guy, but you've got normal sensibilities.
I hope I'm normal, because then everybody would think like I am.
But I mean, you're not hyper, you're not quick to say, oh my goodness, you know, this is a conspiracy, or this is a, you're not quick to fall on false memes or push false memes or false narratives. You check things out. You're well researched.
For 55 years, I've been researching this stuff.
Yes.
And I began writing in 2005 to get it all written down. And now it's in the Liberty series. Anybody can read it that wants to.
And that's, you know, when I was going through the Liberty series again in preparation, and I love that, the couple thousand pages and what, in the volumes in the Liberty series.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned earlier, the stories you printed or reprinted in your, in volume four, I think it was volume four, in their entirety are gone from the internet. I'm talking gone.
Yes,
two of
they're
them
gone. Absolutely. That's why I did it, because they're impossible to find.
Right.
That's why they're there. People say, well, everything's dated in 2005 and 2007. That's when most of this kind of information was being printed. And it's now in the book, so you can read it.
Right.
That's why it's there.
You know, and you did, it's very well preserved. I mean, those articles, those columns, the documents are very well preserved in your book. And I'm glad you did it that way, because again, I'm looking for this stuff and I'm not finding it. In one case it was out of four, two were gone completely. One was reprinted on another site. And frankly, the fourth one, I'm still looking. I'm not satisfied. I haven't found, it's not where it originally was. So thank you for, you know, printing out the original articles. And that's why it's so valuable. One of the reasons why that series is so valuable. But, so yeah, I don't mean the day after, by the way, the day after the election. I mean, it's going to be bad until we actually do something. And when I say do something, that sounds pretty stupid to me, but, no, we're going to have to do something. But back to your comment about FEMA camps and body bags. Let's talk about that, because you address that in the Liberty series.
Yes.
People say, oh, that's just conspiracy hype. That's conspiracy. No, it's not.
Guys, let me just explain a little bit. I had actual pictures of I can't find them now. They're supposed to be on my computer, but I got so much on my computer, I can't find them. But I have actual photos, pictures of prefabbed prisons being offloaded off trains in our state, Utah. And these things were taken places. I knew of Arizona with prisons already manned, already in place, empty, just waiting. I have pictures of huge fields that have been dug up or are being dug up when the pictures are taken, and they're putting huge boxes in those for burial of people. Guys, this is not fiction. This is true. I've seen the pictures myself. Oh, of course, everybody says, oh, they're just made up. It's just fake. That's what they're saying about these videos that we saw about what's going on in the hospitals. Oh, that's just fake. That's just, you don't know that's true. That's just fake. Like what? Like New York. I mean, like Hollywood. Well, yeah, could be, but it isn't. It isn't fake like that. The reason we know it's not fake is because the media and the government's making such a big thing of it not being in existence. Oh no, we don't have that stuff. And when they make a big thing about it and they begin to hold back the people that are trying to talk about it, and they begin to censor things like Facebook and the media does every place, they try to censor everything that's against them. You know what those people are saying that's being censored is true, or they wouldn't pay any attention. It's true, or they wouldn't pay any attention. Folks, ridicule is their biggest weapon, and fear is the next biggest weapon. And we're in the middle of both of them constantly. We don't have a pandemic of COVID-19. We have a pandemic of fear. And that's taking the nation by storm. And all those things that you just read and showed on page 18 of that report, All of those things are absolutely true. They did them. They are doing them. And if this isn't the one, this is just, we didn't have 7 million die in 7 months. It wasn't that bad. So obviously, if this is not the one, there's another one in store for us that's already been written also, and it's going to come down in a few years, and we'll cry and scream, and oh no, what are we going to do this time? Well, what we're going to do is die this time, that time.
You know, Yeah. It's.
They want the population to 95% less than it is today. You guys remember Jacques Cousteau, the guy that was out in the ocean all the time, highly respected. Yep. He's in the middle of this, wants the population down to 5% of what it exists today. Yes, 5%. That's the goal. That's what Gates' foundation has set out to do. To reduce the population down to 5% of what it is today. Just enough to sustain our lifestyle. I don't care about anybody else's. Just enough to sustain our lifestyle, the way we want to live.
You know, we've got so much to talk about. Dr. Richard Proctor is my guest. Provis Institute, that's P-R-O-V-I-S, provisinstitute.com is the website. The book, Saving the Constitution, I've got it in my hand right here, but there it is on your screen. Grab the book, buy the book, and if you, but buy the Liberty Series as well, because you really need the information that's in there, especially with what's coming, and what's coming this, what's already here, but what's coming, understanding, really understanding both the Constitution in saving the Constitution and how to, understanding the Constitution and how to save it, as well as, how we got here. And, really, I think a look into the future from the Liberty Series, that's just my view, by understanding the past. So, but Dr. Proctor, I gotta tell you, I was, you had mentioned, a couple of programs ago, Rachel Carson and the lie behind Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. You remember mentioning that?
Oh, yes. Yes, we talked about that. Yes, we did.
Okay.
That was 100% lie. That was fictitious, completely. Silent Spring was fictitious.
I was going through my notes, and when I was going through my notes, I had written down YouTube commenter, question, Silent Spring. So what, I took that to mean that this YouTube commenter, because I couldn't find the comment, it was from weeks ago. I took that to mean that they were wondering what Silent Spring was, and it was a book that was written, I think, in 2007. But the end result here.
Just a minute, Doug.
Go ahead.
Doug.
Go ahead.
Did you just say that the book was written in 2007?
Am I
Silent
wrong?
Spring?
I'm wrong, right?
Oh, it was written in the 50s.
Okay.
56. That's okay. When it was written, back in that era.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me here. I'm looking at written notes here, and I'm not. Wow. Okay, I can do better in my handwriting. But okay, so that's right. But this goes. I guess what I was pushing, or what I was, the idea I was going for is, you're looking at Earth worship. You know how the new Green Deal is. You're looking at the intersection between the Green New Deal / Gaia or Earth worship. Rachel Carson banning DDT, or ultimately Silent Spring, I'm sorry, resulting in the ban of DDT. And yeah, and the upward rise of malaria, because of that and other diseases because of the ban of DDT, and how this all kind of intersects with what we're seeing today. Help me out with the explanation here, because I just said a mouthful. Words were just tumbling out of my mouth and not in the right order. So, but you see where I'm going with this, how these different movements are all kind of intertwined.
Oh, yes. I have a 60-page document on my computer, and I can find that one, by the way. It's kind of titled Sever the Roots. What does that mean? That means that we're going to kill the tree by severing the roots. And all the way through that book, it talks about how to sever the roots to kill the democracy, the republic, and anybody else who's against the New World Order. And it shows, I wish I could always remember everything that's written in that book, but there was a, in the 2006s, 7s, that era, 8, 9, I'm trying to remember the name of the medicine. It's to control cervix cancer in women. And what they did was they took that medicine and gave it to teenage girls to destroy their reproductive abilities. That's why. You know, if you destroy, you destroy all the men but one, they can still do the job. But if you destroy all the women but one, you've destroyed the country. You've destroyed the population. So the goal is to destroy the women. And that's what all of this is about. Destroy people and destroy girls, especially teenage girls, first. Gardasil, that's it, Gardasil. And they took it all through Africa. Well, the African, there were two shots, and the African nations figured that out. African groups figured that out. So when they went to one tribe, they were able to give them the injection. But the next tribe, there weren't any women there. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And there's two injections required, and they couldn't get the second one at all because the African people were smart enough to get their women out of the way. But we weren't. We weren't smart enough. In Texas, they even mandated the injection. And its purpose was to sterilize teenage girls as much as possible. That's what its purpose was. It talks about it in this book. It talks about that. It talks about we've got to destroy. Why? What do you think? Come on. The homosexual disease that's running rampant. I know what AIDS. It is. Well, as anybody else does. Pardon?
AIDS? Is that what you meant?
AIDS. Thank you very much. AIDS, yes. That particular thing is also manufactured by the government, by these people, not the United States government, but by the people who are angry with us. And that's to destroy the population. How can you destroy the population best? You can get AIDS to destroy men and women both, because it does when it's taken in through drugs and needles. That one was targeted. And then we have homosexuality, lesbian and guys. We got a situation here where we're destroying reproduction because people won't do it because they've been taught, we gotta be homosexuals. That's great. Let's do that. That destroys the population. All these things are being pushed for the purpose of destroying our population. The Ramsey Report in the 50s, that was all about trying to figure out sex and things like that. And it was, we'd call it pedophilia today. Absolutely horrid what they did. But its goal was to destroy the country through sex. And that was another part of this group. Folks, it's been going on for a long, long time. And we are still in the middle of it, and we're not paying any attention. We're turning out homosexuals by the ton today because it's supposed to be a protected group now. Oh, yes, well, we've got to treat them nicely and be nice. Well, I think we should be nice to people, but not to the degree that we associate and cause and bring the problem upon us, not to that degree. Come on, folks.
Isn't it interesting?
We had a government.
They've got special rights. Yeah. I didn't mean to overtalk you, but they have, just like Black Lives Matter now.
Same thing. Destroy everything but that.
That's right.
And that only 17% of the people that are in Black Lives Matter are black. All the rest of them are white insurgents. Just using the term. And as soon as that's done, they won't worry about that either. They will destroy the black people that help them because the goal is to get people to do things for them and then destroy them. And if you want to have a really good read about this kind of stuff, it was written by Alan Drury in the 50s and the 60s. And he painted the picture of how government can control and eventually be destroyed. And then when in his final book, or his next to the final book, he had the Russian government sitting on the podium when the president was sworn in, and they were in charge of the inauguration, the Russian government. The Soviet, the communist government, was in charge of our country on the swearing in of the president. That's his next to last book. And in that book, they also, at the end of it, bingo, all the people who had been in the media, who had been teaching everybody that they were just the jewels of society, and we want to do this, and oh, how wonderful they are, no, we're all being hauled off to prison. And they were saying, well, why me? We talked about you. We were for you. And the attitude is, yeah, well, you turned against your country. You'll turn against us. So we're going to take care of you, too. Guys, there's no safety in joining with these groups. They're going to destroy anyone who joins, and they're going to destroy everybody they can who doesn't join, except those who are prepared. They won't destroy them. Get prepared. I've been lecturing is the wrong word, but maybe it's the right word. I've been teaching these concepts on the internet through my newsletters since 2006. Well, yep. Guys, come on. Doug, I want to read something here. Is it all right if I read something? I wrote this yesterday because of some things that came to my attention in, where was the state? This came to my attention. Come on, Richard. Come on, Richard. Sheriff's government. It's Colorado. Yes, it is.
Colorado. Sounds like you're reading from my notes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This thing came to me from Colorado. They asked me, what do you think about this? And what they thought of what it was the governor has decided that we're going to confiscate all weapons using red flag laws. And the sheriff said, no, we're not. Lots of sheriffs says we won't enforce it. And then the governor came back and said, then we're going to sue you guys and throw you out. Okay. Now that's what it was that was sent to me. I wrote this document called Action Against Rogue Government Officials yesterday. The end of this document, as so many individuals are being approached by rogue government officials, my book, Saving the Constitution, has become more and more important. I believe every constitutionally minded family must have and have read this book for their own safety and peace of mind. Almost all of the difficulties they are faced with are answered on the pages of this book. It has become a must read rather than just an interesting read. And that's because of January to today. And that's only the last paragraph of this, because the first paragraphs talk about what to do. Second Amendment begins with the word a well-regulated militia. I mean, the second paragraph. The Second Amendment begins with these words, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. What does that mean? That means that the Second Amendment wasn't written to allow us to have guns to hunt or allow us to have guns to protect ourselves against criminals. It's written to allow us to protect ourselves against a rogue government. That's what the Second Amendment is really about. Okay, guys.
Amen.
Next. This should be a good one. 4th of July is coming up this week. Freedom. We celebrated all the neat stuff that our founding fathers did for us and all this. And here we are harping about the wicked folks of today trying to tear down the thing. Oh, my.
What do you think about the upcoming 4th? Is this going to be our last? I mean, it just feels different this year. What do you think about how things are going in the Independence Day, 4th of July holiday here in America?
What is that? 3 days away now? Today's the first.
Yep.
3 days away, the 4th of July. Will that be a celebration or more serious, horrible riots and destruction?
You know, I'm looking at, I've been getting emails saying, oh, watch out, the rioters, the left, they're planning on attacking suburbs on that day. And although I don't discount that, I don't think there's anything organized to show that. However, I think in some parts of the country, for example, Seattle, Portland, New York, perhaps, that might be
Washington, D.C.
in Washington, right. Some of the bigger cities where there's this liberal acquiescence to this. So,
accommodated.
Right, exactly. But I'm not looking at a full-scale countrywide issue this 4th of July, but I'm looking at maybe this is one of the last free 4th of July's or Independence Day holidays we're going to have. That's kind of just what I'm seeing.
Well, you may be right on target, but let's look at that video. Let's think about that video you showed several minutes of today.
Right.
That video is showing another city where they're trying to set up barriers and take over a place.
New York.
And this city went in with police to take it down. If our country had militias, state militias like we should have, am I talking about militias again? Wow. Maybe I talk about that every week. If we had militias again, like we're supposed to, then those people wouldn't be there because the militias would have been there to prevent it because they could see it coming. I mean, people aren't stupid. The people in New York government aren't stupid, unless of course they want the riots. That's stupid. But the people in New York that don't want them, they're not stupid. They could have organized in such a way that the rioters couldn't have even started, because they would have been prepared for it. These people don't come in secret. Well, they can try to sneak in, but it's not secretive. These people, they're coming is heralded by the buses and by the loads and by the folks that are coming. And most of the people are bussed in that do this. They're not citizens of the area. They're bussed in, paid for by the Soros and company who's funding this thing. Okay. They're funding it. It's the elite that wrote that article in 2000, that document in 2010 that's funding it. I mean, this is all planned. It's a part of it. Anyway, so if they had militias, small communities had militias like Coeur d'Alene did in Idaho. They didn't have a militia, but they had citizens that wanted it. Well, if it had a militia, it would have been official. If every small community had one of those, like they're setting up in, it's Custer County in Colorado. They're trying to set up a thing through their whole valley to protect their valley against what's coming. That's very intelligent. And I agree with that 100%. That's what we all should be doing, protecting our areas against what is coming. That's not fiction. It is coming. The patterns are there. They've done it in Seattle and they won. Well, then let's do it everywhere else. And look what the habit can be.
Yep.
Look at the habit. And police aren't enough, folks. The police aren't enough, especially the police in Indianapolis. They're not enough either, since there aren't any.
I'm not so sure how many people got that.
What did that stupid city council say? Oh, let the communities defend themselves. That's just asking for mob violence. That's not asking for anything serious or organized. That's just saying communities, get your guns out and protect your own home. That's what that said. And that stupid council said that. And a couple of days ago, they also said you can't do anything to these people in Seattle because what? Because we are banning tear gas and those kinds of things. We're banning. You can't use it. You see, they want them to use bullets or nothing at all. Well, what's wrong with the thought process of a city council like that? Oh, no, that was Minneapolis. I'm sorry. They did the same thing in Seattle. They banned the there's too much stuff going on. It's coming together in a blur. They banned the tear gas in Seattle, but they banned the police force in Minneapolis, and both of those are very intelligent.
Right.
Oh, my.
And you know
what the Declaration of Independence says? If the government won't protect your God-given rights, then it's your responsibility to alter or abolish it. And that wasn't just England.
Yep. But see, you bring out a good point here. And again, you made light of the fact, am I talking about militias again? Well, this is what we need to do. I think to everyone asking, what can we do? Hey, we need to form our own militias, or we need to form.
Yes.
I want to be proper in the terminology. We need to form a militia. And the word militia, as you know, has been demonized by propaganda from the media, the mainstream media, which is not right. But, you know, the fact, again, I go back to your Liberty series. Who we're fighting currently right now, we're fighting, I'll just say at the surface, at the street level, we're fighting Antifa, okay, which is a fascist organization disguised as an anti-fascist organization. When you start digging into the known associations with respect to Antifa, I'm going to toss these out. They're going to be familiar to you and to the audience. Remember Mumia Abu-Jamal, the cop killer. Okay. Mumia Abu-Jamal, a cop killer. These are known associates, known individuals associated with Antifa, whether it's at the origins of or current. Then you've got Sansara Taylor, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar. Gee, there's a Islamic connection there. Arianna Presley, Chris Cuomo. That's right, Chris Cuomo. Spike Lee, for example, Mark Bray, Jeff Bezos. Wait a minute, I thought Antifa was going against Bezos. They do turn on their own, but I digress. When you look at the when you look at the objectives of this road to the utopian lie, it always ends in anarchy and mob rule. And this is what I've written down my own notes here. And the means are, in fact, by any means necessary. Nazis, communism, all of us, we're seeing this today. And they're just disguised as being anti-Nazi, you know, anti-fascist. Well, we are under siege. We are under siege. Trevor Loudon wrote a great article back in 2017, America Under Siege. And so he specifically zeroed in on Antifa. In fact, he gave a talk. Capital Research Center had done a video document. If I can find it, I'll put it up in the program description box. But Dr. Proctor, all of this you have elicited very well, described very well in the Liberty Series.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Doug, the things that are, the names that you're giving out today, I didn't include them. Well, I didn't include the names of any of the people you're talking about because they're what I call useful idiots. The real force is these foundations. Okay. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation. I can just go on and on and on. That's the real enemy right there. But they're not even in the book. They're not even on the screen because they hide in the background and sneak in and get all kinds of the, shall I just say, the easily led element to destroy. They get that element out and they pay them and get them going. These people are all paid. They're not coming there voluntarily doing a good job. They're given a paycheck. Every one of them have a paycheck coming from these foundations I just mentioned. Soros is a part of it. We pick on Soros a lot today because he became well known. But hey, everybody, I've got the names of all of them. Volume one, look at it. There's the names of all the people in Skull and Bones since 1835 or 1832, all the way up to 1985. Every name there, all those people in their day and in our day, whoever they are that live today in our day, are all a part of the group that are financing what's going on. It's all in the quiet behind the scenes, but it's all the same. And that's what the Liberty Series outlines, how they're doing it. Volumes 2 through 5 use illustration after illustration. This is what this and this and this. Details about 20 subjects, giving details of what they use and what they do and the lies that they put forth that we sucker into. For example, ozone. When you get into volume 4, the last part of the environmental part of ozone, it writes about the ozone layer, how the ozone layer is created, who creates it, how it's done, how can you destroy it, what's going on. And you know what destroys it? Lack of cold over the Antarctic. How about that? Lack of cold. If you don't have enough cold over the Antarctic in the wintertime, then you'll have an ozone layer decrease. And the ozone is increased when there's lots of cold over Antarctic. And I don't know how that has to do with anything to do with aerosol. It isn't. But they used that. They used the ozone layer was a little short as an illustration of we're destroying the country. Well, the Antarctic fixed it. So then we don't talk about that anymore. Now, in that particular discussion, I also talk about the area 1 mile over the United States and the cubic area of 1 mile over the United States and the cubic area of the ozone layer, which is about 40 miles out in space and goes all the way around the globe. What's the cubic miles of that? And what's the cubic miles of 1 mile above? What's the cubic miles of 1 mile above the United States? We're being blamed for destroying the ozone layer. And you're going to see in that we are 0.01% of the size, 0.01%. Maybe there's even more zeros than that.
Yep.
A part of the ozone layer. So we're going to destroy that with our eeny, beeny, beeny thing. Our eeny, beeny pinpoint is going to destroy the massive atmosphere. But they used it, and we swallowed it, and you can't buy a Freon for your cars anymore because we swallowed it.
That's right.
Guys, we're being led down the path by these same people every time.
And isn't it interesting, the same environmentalists who are talking about climate change and man-made climate change, that is, and they're talking about, well, as I mentioned earlier, Silent Spring, you have to ban DDT. The agendas or the tactics, I should say, are the same. The agendas are very close and paralleled, closely paralleled. So, it's the groups that you mentioned, you identify, who are behind this. Very interesting. More on the other side of the top of the hour break. You're listening to Hagmann. This is the Hagmann Report, HagmannReportLive.com. That's our audio video page, HagmannReport.com. I reposted a story there from Peter Barryczaka from 2 years ago. His question, will this be our last Independence Day? And that was from 2018. Very, very relevant to today. Dr. Richard Proctor on the other side. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is Hagmann. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmannReportLive.com, that's for audio video. HagmannReport.com is for the written word, for all of the show notes, for different various contributing columnists and such. That's HagmannReport.com, and then HagmannReportLive.com for the shows, popular segments and other sections as well. But that's the Hagmann Report Live's audio video. Before I get back to Dr. Richard Proctor, you know, I gotta tell you, Father's Day. My daughter, I've got such a beautiful daughter. She came to me. She said, "Dad, you can pick out your own Father's Day gift." I said, "Okay," but she said, "I'm on a budget." God bless her. And she said, "You can spend X amount of dollars." True, this is a true story. And I said, "Okay, you know, I'll pick something out." And so it was about $10. About $11 over her budgeted amount. And I said, "Look, if we do this, I'll kick in the $11. She said, "Hang on a second." She goes online and she comes back. She said, "Nope, you can save your money. I've got it." I said, "How did you do that? How were you able to keep within your budget by getting this online?" joinhoney.com/Hagmann. joinhoney.com/Hagmann. Again, true story. Look, we all shop online a lot. Did you know that you can make online shopping even better? You can with Honey. Honey is a free online shopping tool that saves you money online. Here's how it works. When you check out, this little box drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds for it to scan for every promo code on the internet and watch the prices drop. That's what my daughter did. And it was cool how she did it. So here's what joinhoney.com/Hagmann. Here's what Honey worked out for us. Again, not using Honey is literally passing up free money. It's free to use, installs in just a few seconds. Plus, it's now part of the PayPal family. Get Honey for free. Here's how you do it. joinhoney.com/Hagmann. That's joinhoney.com/Hagmann. That's joinhoney.com/Hagmann. That's where you go. And remember, two ends on Hagmann. It's really a no-brainer. You'll save money. And, add to my success stories. I mean, I'm adding to my success stories. Have some of your own. That's joinhoney.com/Hagmann. Okay. Dr. Richard Proctor is my guest. And how about this? Liberty versus freedom in the shadow of the upcoming Independence Day holiday. Let's talk about liberty versus freedom. There's a difference, isn't there, Dr. Richard Proctor?
Yes, there is. And it's an interesting item. liberty and freedom. You know, we talk about we have freedom in our country. We have freedom to do anything we want, right? We really do. We have freedom to do anything we want. We can go burn down a home. We have freedom to do that. Nobody can stop us from doing it. You see what I mean? We have freedom to do that. So what's the difference? A republic or, well, let's not bring that in. Liberty is the act of doing the things that you want with responsibility. Liberty is with responsibility. Freedom is just doing whatever you want. Like a child, a small baby does whatever he or she wants to do. The child does whatever they want to do. They don't even think about responsibility. They just want it. They figured out, if they figure out that when you go to the store, we're talking about a two-year-old now or some number, you go to the store and they're going along with you and they want that. And you say, well, no. And then they throw a tantrum. See, they don't have any responsibility here. They just want that item. They throw a tantrum because they have learned that if they make enough noise, you'll buy it for them. Aha. Yes, sirree, Bob. They've learned. It's called controlling your parents. The little kids learn how to control their parents because they just do what they want to do without wrecking any responsibility. Now, let's push this ahead to today. Let's call these children, these 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old children, 20-year-old, 25-year-old guys standing in a Black Lives Matter thing. They're sitting there saying, we want what we want. If you don't give it to us, we're going to burn down your store. And they're doing it. No responsibility. They're free to do it, but they're not taking any responsibility for what they're doing. Now, the consequences of what they're doing will be levied against them. It's called prison. It's called, you know, it should be called capital execution in some cases. But we really try, don't want a capital punishment. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. The poor victim, they have freedom to destroy the life of the victim, even destroy the victim while they're killing her. And the Supreme Court says, well, it's a cruel and unusual punishment for me to execute them in a humane manner, but it wasn't cruel and unusual for him to destroy her body while he killed her. That was all right. Some people in Ogden, Utah, several years ago, took control of something and they poured acid down people's ears. But they couldn't have any, what you might call cruel and unusual punishment. So we haven't got the right idea in our justice system. Of course, it's all up in the night anyway. But the point I'm making is people have freedom to do, but they must also have responsibility to do what they want to do. I am free to shout fire out in the middle of the street. Who cares? In a crowded theater? That's not a good plan. That's irresponsible. That's what the difference really is. Liberty is freedom with responsibility as opposed to freedom without responsibility. Now think those things through. Libertarian, a true libertarian believes everything is up to you to have how you want it to be. They define that as liberty. Everything. A true libertarian defines that as everything. Whether they're, you know, no matter what, if you want to, they don't define, let's not say vicious things like killing and raping. They don't find that as liberty, but they define going where you want, doing what you want as liberty. We can't step on their toes. Libertarian means liberty in all, let's just say reasonable, but I mean, some of my think those things are unreasonable. Libertarian is a way to define true, lots of freedom in liberty, lots of freedom in your liberty. Liberty and freedom. We talk about it. We have a free nation. We have freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of this, freedom of that. But the real meaning of it is we have liberty to do those things responsibly. We have liberty to write what we want responsibly. We have liberty to say what we want to say responsibly. They try to pass laws to control what you can say that is still responsible. And everybody can figure out ways to get around those laws. So they're able to. They give people, pornographers, the right to express themselves however they want because that's freedom of speech. But it's not freedom of, it's not responsible freedom of speech. You understand what I'm saying? There's a big difference between liberty and freedom.
Freedom.
And we are a country of liberty, not a country of complete freedom. Did I say that right, do you think? Complete freedom?
Yes, because freedom is defined, just briefly here, as exemption from external control, the power to determine action without restraint. Go ahead.
Yep, that's it. That is true freedom. It is not freedom with responsibility, and it is not liberty. And that's why we talk about liberty, not freedom.
Right. Correct. Yes.
In my book, Will Liberty Survive the 21st Century? Not freedom. Will liberty survive? Will liberty survive the 21st century? I hope that's the right title. Yeah, the Liberty Series. Will liberty survive the 21st century? I wonder sometimes if it will. It depends on us, whether we responsibly use our freedom or whether we do not. And that's the key. Will liberty survive? That's what the book's about. Liberty. Future liberty. By looking at past history. That's the way to say it. Past history helps us know what true liberty can be in the future if we just learn from the past. But there's that guy who said it. If you don't learn from the history or from the past, you're condemned to repeat it. And we are, because we're not learning from what's happened to us. We're not learning from it. We're not paying attention to the Hegelistic doctrine. We're not learning that the people who want to destroy will nibble, nose in the tent flap. They'll nibble a little bit and then a little bit more, always taking a big bite, then they back off and just take a little bite because someone complains. But then they take another big bite, and then they back off to a little bite. But you notice they always move towards their goal to destroy your goal. That's what the Hegelistic concept is all about. The thesis and the antithesis, and the synthesis in the middle. These are hard words. I can't spell anything over two syllables. I just don't understand. Anyway, guys, the idea of liberty for our country is responsible freedom. Let's do that. And if we work towards those kinds of things, then we will be successful in life and have a pleasant life. If we use our freedom to destroy other people's lives while we make money destroying their lives, that's not responsible freedom. That's not responsible. If we use our money to destroy other people, that's not responsible, although we're free to do it, and it's often within the law, so that there's no one going to punish us for it. But it's not responsible use of our freedom because we are hurting or destroying other people. That's not responsible use. And that's what we're supposed to learn from our parents, responsible use of freedom. But when parents renege that responsibility, we get what we have today. Anything the kids want.
Yeah.
And they're going to take it if they have to kill somebody to get it, because that's their freedom. That's what they defined. That's what they've defined it as. And the more we yell, the more we'll get. And if somebody gives us a little bit, let's go batter their house down so they'll give us more. I've been told, I didn't read this precisely, and I don't know what happened, but I've been told that some of the government officials in one of these places in the country actually knelt down in front of two of these protesters and washed their feet.
I think it was maybe that did happen, but the one I'm thinking of, they used a brush on their shoes, boots, whatever it might have been.
Okay, well. Is that different? Is that different?
No.
If you guys have ever seen the movie V, have you ever seen the movie V? Just a V. It's nothing else. V. Okay. It's a pretty long movie. It was a TV series. That movie V shows how the population degraded itself down to the point where an American citizen, boy, teenager, who had discovered he can do anything he wants with impunity, forced some physicians, doctors, learning doctors, onto their knees to lick his boots. That's irresponsible freedom. He had the freedom to do that because the people with him backed him up. They said, okay, do it. And the guy did it. Because he knew if he didn't do it, they'd kill him. So he did it. That's irresponsible freedom. But that's where we are. And that particular event that was used, whether brushing the feet or washing the feet or whatever they were doing, is exactly the same thing as displayed in B. Precisely the same thing. Faced with the same decisions, the same situation. Those who are trying to do better are always demeaned. That happened. That's where the term, oh, I'm trying to remember the term that the Negroes used in the past against people who became successful. They tried to call them whiteys or something like white. It was a degrading term. Of any colored black person who tried to elevate himself was then degraded in his society because he was trying to suck up to the whiteys. That kind of thing. Destroy your own survival by ridiculing those who are trying to do better. And when somebody does do better, like Bill Cosby, they bounce on him until they destroy him, which they did. That's using freedom irresponsibly.
Right. And correct or incorrect, right? Right. Whether Bill Cosby deserved that, I'll just say this because I'm sure that's going to, that's not the issue. Okay. The issue
that's
is.
That's not the issue. He may have done it, but it was 40 years ago.
Right. The issue.
In a different environment, a different situation.
Right. We're talking.
You guys know Paula Deen? You know Paula Deen? She was a cook on the Cook Channel.
Yep.
Paula Deen. And somebody got her in a place and they said, did you ever use, I'm going to use it, guys, so don't get mad at me. Did you ever use the term nigger? And she says, well, yes, I did. And they crucified her. But they crucified her for using the term nigger back in a time frame when it was always done by everybody. It wasn't right. But they crucified her today. And the people crucifying her undoubtedly used the same term when they were that age in that same environment, in that same place.
That's correct.
That's irresponsible use of freedom. Irresponsible. She wasn't wrong. I mean, she wasn't right. That wasn't wrong to use that term ever. Okay, I've never used the term to describe anybody. But the point I'm making is that term was used in common language to describe black people in the South. And all Southerners did it. All white Southerners. And they picked on her and destroyed her life.
I remember that.
Irresponsible use of freedom. I'm not saying she was right. No, no, no. I'm not saying Bill Cosby was right. No, no, no. But they used it to destroy them. It wasn't that they wanted to correct anything. They just wanted to destroy someone they didn't want doing what they were doing.
And that's the bigger picture here. It's not, as you pointed out, it's not right or wrong of someone's actions. It's that selective enforcement.
To destroy.
With the intent to destroy, I guess. Yes. And that's the intent.
With the intent to destroy good. With the intent to destroy good, you find something in their life that wasn't right that they did, and every one of us have got something that we wish we hadn't done. They find that something and use that to destroy that which is good. And they always do. They always do.
And you know, Doctor, I can extend this one more layer out. I don't know how many people know this, but the creator of the alternative Twitter platform, Gab, known as Gab, last week, Visa blacklisted Gab, but they did one more thing, even deeper than that. Some businesses have, they accept Visa, MasterCard, whatever, and you pay a premium for that, a fee for that, a monthly fee and then a percentage of the purchase. Visa blacklisted Gab, but they went further. And this is kind of what I think this is at the periphery of what you're talking about. The gentleman that started Gab and his family learned that it was not just Gab that was blacklisted. As in communist China with the social credit system, again, developed by the Communist Chinese Party or the Communist Party, as a national reputation system, they went after him on a personal level. And so, for example, Communist Chinese Party, social credit score. You could be denied access to planes, subways, trains, opening and operating a business, and so on. It's happening here. So, but the purpose, as you indicate, is to destroy that which is good, but with the antenna or the inflection on destroy. Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing.
That's exactly what it's all about. And it's happening everywhere. Ridicule, the use of ridicule in our society today is that same kind of thing, to destroy that which is good.
Yes.
Because ridicule is a good tool. Ridicule is a good tool. Lots of people have been destroyed by ridicule. Lots of journalists, lots of people, lots of politicians have been destroyed. Sarah Palin has been destroyed by ridicule, destroying that which is good. She never did anything to deserve all that garbage, but she got it anyway. And they were after her destroying her political future. Would be nice if we had a young lady of that ilk as president, wouldn't it? She is a fine person. But they destroyed her. She has no chance.
Yep.
But they don't destroy Biden. They don't destroy him. He's a tool they use. They don't destroy him. You see how they selectively choose?
Yep. Selective enforcement, selective application of the laws, selective application of liberty.
Yes. Just think about the Roy. Is that his name? Roy? Alabama guy running for Congress. Judge Roy. I believe that's his
Roy
name.
Roy Moore. Yeah.
He was a fine. Pardon?
Roy Moore.
You say it again?
Judge Roy Moore. Yeah.
Judge Roy Moore. He was a fine, is a fine person. He worked hard to do that which is right. He tried to help the state of Alabama over and over again in things. And the people got mad at him, the bad people, those who use anything to destroy. And they pulled some lies, or they claimed some things he did, which were lies, in the election time. And people who would have voted for him were suckered into, I wonder if they were suckered into it by the media, and they didn't vote for him, and he was not selected. A guy who was in actuality very bad, who they didn't select, was elected. And that's how it's done, because we get suckered in by the media. I haven't listened to a media report, a national media report, one time in over a decade, not one time, because most of what they're doing is slanting the business, the lives, the news to take you down a path that is not right. That's most of what I don't listen to them. I don't listen to them. I'm LDS. There's a lot I'm of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, you know.
Right.
I'm of that faith. And a lot of people have written bad books about our faith. I don't read any of them. People say, well, you need to read them so you'll know what's going on. No, I don't. I don't need to read them to know what's going on. They're just trying to lead people down a bad path. So I don't do that. I didn't go to that movie about the crucifixion of Christ. It was very graphic. I didn't go to that movie. I didn't need to see it on the screen to understand what Christ did for us. That movie was trying to show the horrors of what occurred. I didn't need to see that, and I won't see that. I know what Christ did for us. I don't have to see something that graphically displays what happened to him while he did it. I don't need that. I don't want that. I won't go see those things. I try to keep that kind of stuff out of my life.
Okay. And that's a personal decision. I remember my daughter was young when that came out. And she was at that, if I recall, at that age, she wanted to see it. And I had an on-air discussion with people saying, should I take her to see it? But you're right. You know, but that's your personal decision. And thank God.
Yes, it is. I'm not telling anybody else to do
right.
that. No. That's what I do. I don't want that in my life. I don't care about anybody else. They made a lot of money on that movie, and I don't discredit anybody who went to see it. I just didn't want to.
But see, if you were a leftist or the communist that we're seeing today, you would require people not to see it or to see it, depending on, you know, what your bias would be.
Yes.
You would be taking away the liberty and actually the freedom, but the liberty of the American people. And by the way, folks, I want to mention, I just want to make sure I get this in here. Saving the Constitution. This really has not left my desk. This is an important book. You need to get this book, Saving the Constitution. Where to get it? ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you'll find the video of today. And if you're watching this on YouTube, go over to HagmanReportLive.com. Click on the program description and then click on the link to this book. And, you probably have one or two left, right? So you can get them out.
Well, yeah, I have a couple. Yeah. I'm ordering another 600 next week. Yeah, I have a couple.
Okay. So do it, folks. You're not going to find any better descriptive explanation, instructional book about the Constitution. This made it easy for me to understand. Saving the Constitution, Dr. Richard Proctor. It's a great book. Provost Institute is where to get it. And I'm going to tell you something. While you're there, shop around, because he's got books on economics and, oh my, the Liberty series. Kind of what we're talking about, a little bit deeper, things taking place today, with respect to what we're seeing. The people behind the street urchins, known as Antifa and such, Black Lives Matter, the people, the organizations behind that. But anyway, provostinstitute.com, please, folks, visit there. And I'm not getting paid to say this. I'm saying it because I believe it. It's the best book, Saving the Constitution, on the Constitution available. That's provostinstitute.com. All right, sir. Keep going.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up what you just said. I want to read this again. Almost all of everybody needs to have this book and have read it. Every family needs to have this book and have read it because for their own peace of mind, their own direction, their own help, because most of the difficulties in today's government are caused by that. People talk about all the bad things that are going on, so let's do this. But do this isn't right. The do this is go back to the Constitution we have, because it answers all those questions very nicely. I mean, they talk about, so there's a group that's going to meet, that's trying to meet and influence people into a new dictatorship. And that group's meeting in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, on the 4th. Okay. And their goal is to take people into a new dictatorship theirs. But anyway, in that group, someone asked me what I thought of it. Well, they have the right to do it. But they're trying to invent a new constitution. And they say, we've got to fix it because we need a new constitution. We've got to fix these problems. We need a new constitution. The people that are trying to convince everybody of a constitution of states, we've got to fix the constitution we have. Why don't they just read the new one? And they say, how can we get a good president? How can we select one? Because all the presidents we have now are vetted. All the people that run for president, except Donald Trump, for the last 50, 60, 70 years have been vetted by the very people that are destroying our country today. Before they're allowed to run, they're vetted. And then they decide how, who's going to run, and who we can vote for. When Kerry and Bush ran, they both were from the same group. Didn't matter who won. They would both do the same thing, and they did. They did just different ways, different things. So what I'm saying is you need the information to protect yourself and answer your questions. And the Constitution does that task. If we elected the president by the constitutional method, we wouldn't have any questions about the president that's coming this next year, or last year, or the year before, or any term. We'd have never any questions. Those men would be high-quality statesmen with our country in their activities, mind, and desires. But Leah Iacocca, they asked him to run for president. He would have been a fantastic president. He's the guy who saved Chrysler. He's the only guy of the three autos that paid the bill, paid the debt back to the federal government for saving their auto equipment.
Yeah, and that says something. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, he's a fine person. He refused. I'm not going to put myself through that. I'm not going to do that. But had we had an electoral college and the majority of the electoral college members felt he was a strong guy and should be there, he would have accepted it because he would have known that he didn't have to go through all the garbage that we have done to ourselves since 1800. Okay? And in 1800, the CFR, the insiders, the power behind the throne, the shadow government, they took over the role of the electoral college. We do have an electoral college today, even though people don't think we do. And they don't meet in December and vote for whoever the popular vote was. They meet in July and in June and May and select who we get to choose from. That's the Electoral College. That was their task. And they are on focus. The Electoral College is in focus today as it's mentioned in the Constitution itself, except for we vote with a popularity contest rather than the House of Representatives. But you see, it's still there. So people say, oh, well, you get to choose our president. No, you don't. It's already chosen for you in May or June, except when Trump ran. And that's why they're so mad at Trump, because he wasn't chosen by them. That's why they haven't done anything for the last 3 years except try to destroy Trump. Why don't they try to build something up? Why don't they come up with ideas to improve the country? But no, no, no. Their only idea is to destroy Trump. Well, that's because he's doing something that the shadow government doesn't want done. The shadow government does not want these things to happen. It gets in their way, gets their wheels, stops their wheels. Trump's doing the best job he can with the information he has in his hands. He wants to do the best job he can. He wants this country to survive. But the best thing he has in his hands sometimes isn't good, because sometimes the best thing he has in his hand are two choices, like the presidents we get to choose from in the past. Two choices, which one is the least evil, rather than the proper choice, which he would do if he had proper information. But they shield him from proper information. I believe my book, Saving the Constitution, has been in the White House several times now.
Yep.
And I also believe that he shielded from it. He doesn't even know it was there.
I believe that. I'm sure of it. Because when you look at the reports about the allegations about the Islamic terrorist putting bounties on American soldiers, okay, there's a question whether he was even briefed on that. And that's become an issue. And I think that's going to become a bigger issue toward the election. So you're absolutely correct. But I want to go back a little bit, if you don't mind. Can you describe?
Oh, I don't mind at all. Okay. Your thing, sure, sure.
The Electoral College, you'd mentioned that. And you mentioned about
yes.
At present and how it applied to President Trump. But what it is at present versus what it was intended to be. Can you dig down a little bit deeper in that? Because I think a lot of people, and myself included, have, some questions or some, we're not 100% sure, about the Electoral College. Go ahead.
Let's do that. Let's start from the concept that the Founding Fathers had, okay? All right. Let's do it that way. Let's just talk about the concept of the Founding Fathers. They wanted a proper individual selected who would be for the country without bias of everybody in the country's yelling at them and telling them what to do. That's what they wanted. They wanted someone who was a good, strong person to be president. And there's a lot of difficulty to do that, because they didn't have anything to judge how to do that. There was nothing in anywhere in the world that would help them understand how to set this up. Nothing. By the way, that's the divine intervention part that we don't ever talk about. They had no guidance from any other government ever to how to do this. But they wanted a president that would be for the people of the United States and help guide it properly. That's what they wanted. Okay, so in their wisdom, and in this case, their wisdom was God's wisdom, Jesus Christ's wisdom. They were inspired. There was no other source. In their wisdom, these men decided that they would have a House of Representatives and a Senate with a certain number in each place. That number would represent the people and the states. That number, let's say there were two senators and 12 representatives, just for an example. That meant that there would be 14 people in that state's Electoral College voting block, okay, their meeting. Then they said, we've got to have undue influence, so we've got to have all these people meet at the same time in their respective states. So that's how they wrote it. These Electoral College members selected by the people to select the president. See, the people selected these people. It's a republic, we guys. We have a republic. Everybody says we want our own vote. Well, there's your vote. You'll always have it. The problem is that popularity kills the country. Democracy kills the country. A republic saves the country. Anyway, so here we go. These people have 14 people from this state. Doesn't matter what state. Virginia, 14. Okay. Virginia had 14 people total in Congress and in the Senate, House and the Senate. That allowed them to have 14 electoral vote selectors. I like to think of it as nominators, but vote is the term used in the Constitution. Then those men and women would meet in a room apart from every other state, apart from everybody else, and each, and it's in their state, not in any central location. They meet in their state and they select two people each. But there was a rule in the Constitution. There's a rule. They can select one person in their own state, Virginia, but another one had to be in another state, like Massachusetts, because that's how it would have been in 1796, you see. And another state would have been Massachusetts. So each of those 14 choose one person if they want to. They can choose both from Massachusetts if they want, but only one from their own state. So I suspect they all did one from their own state, but that's neither here nor there. They get to choose all those 14 people, choose two who they think would be the best president for the time. The best president for the time. Then the state itself, the leadership of the state, take those votes, those nominations, the Constitution column votes. There'll be 28 votes from those 14 people because there's two each. Those 28 votes are tallied. Bill, Jane, Michael, and they tally up what it is. Then it's sealed and sent to the Senate pro tem, not the vice president, the Senate pro tem. Now, what's happened? What's happened is these people were selected in a republic by the people to select who the people, who they thought would be the best individuals to be president. And they selected those people and they went. Every state did it. So today there would be 10,000 properly. There would be 10,000, at least 10,000 representatives and 100 senators. So that's 10,100 people meeting, selecting 20,004 people. You see how that works? And all of those states would submit their recommendation, their votes, as the Constitution says, to the Senate. The Senate would open it and tally them. And they would see that all the states gave Jane 100 and Jim 500 and Mike 300, and it just went around like that. Everybody's listed. They would tally all those votes. Now they do this with the House and the Senate in joint session. Now, out of that, they begin to tally, and some people rise to the top of being the most selected. Now, those people would be the best people that could be selected by these people who want to select the best. We've got good people here. And notice there's no party involvement here at all. Now, excuse me for a second. I got to do this. Okay, now that I've done that, we can get back to the story.
I love it.
It was terrible.
I love it. Anyway, so but thank you. But wait a second. No part. And thank you for saying that. We're not talking parties here. Thank you for enforcing
absolutely
that.
Not. There's no party here.
Okay.
When all I was a young kid in Boy Scouts, and when I was a young kid in the Boy Scouts, I was taught that about parties. And I thought, how could you have a vice president and a president that were of different parties? We got to have them of the same party. That's what I thought. When I was a young kid in the Boy Scouts and I was learning the adulterated version of the Constitution in my national merit badge, citizenship in the nation merit badge, I was taught the adulterated version, and that's what I thought. It was all wrong. Anyway, so there's no party involvement here. There's no fighting. There's no popularity contest. There's no media thing. Nobody's giving money away. Nobody's saying anything. These guys met in secret in a group. Their votes, as the Constitution says, were all tallied and sent in a sealed envelope to be opened in the Senate, in the Senate pro tem, in the House, everybody in session. Now that's today would be in session 10,100. Okay. That's what it would be. So here we have 10,100 in session, and they're going to open the tallies, and the tallies would have 20,200 votes because two votes from each person, and they'd add them all up. And they would rise. Some would rise to the top, some wouldn't. The top five are selected. Bingo, they're set aside. The top five. Now, the different ways that the Constitution says, if the majority is there, then that's it. But if there's no majority, then we do this. And if we don't get a majority here, we do that. And we don't do, and all kinds of things. And all the kinds of variations that could happen are all listed. All kinds of variations. In the main, this is what it says. The statesman with the most votes by the Electoral College is president. And the statesman with the second most is vice president. Now, there's two people here who are the best folks the college, Electoral College could choose, and they were selected by the people. So the people are the ones who did this in reality, because they chose people they had confidence in to do the best job they could do. Notice something very important here. Very important. Since there were no parties, there was no advertisement, there was no bending of anybody's thing, these statesmen would be selected and be president without any, shall I say, citizenship discussion? Natural born citizen. What is that? Oh, dear me, who can run? Oh, dear me, wouldn't exist, because those people would know natural born citizen means natural born citizen.
Right.
And everybody knows that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a natural born citizen. There's no question. There were definitions of a natural born citizen in 1790, and that's the time frame we're talking about.
That's
and
right.
That natural born citizen was an individual born from two parents that were U.S. citizens. That was the definition in 1790. That was the definition then. That would still be the definition today, and we wouldn't be having all this folly rot. We wouldn't be worried about somebody's birth certificate or all that garbage, because these guys would be selecting people who they knew were natural born citizens. They knew that they would be honest, good-hearted working folks. And Lee Iacocca would have been in the middle of that selection at that time.
Interesting.
Ross Perot would have been in the middle of that selection at that time. Now, Trump might not have been, because Trump is a businessman. Maybe they wouldn't have selected him. I don't know who would have been selected today. I have no idea. But there would have been 10,000 people that would be looking for the best two they could find and nominating, voting for those best two. Those guys would be president. They would care about the country and the Constitution. And we wouldn't have this discussion, and I wouldn't have had to have written a book saving it, because it would never have been lost. But we lost that method in 1796. That was the last time. So we lost it then. 1800, we've never elected a president properly since, because the Electoral College isn't people who are looking for the best. They're people who are looking for the lackeys that will follow what they want. And the Electoral College is the CFR, the Pratt House of New York City. Now, that's as clear as I could make.
Wait a minute. Did you just say, now hold on a minute. Did you just say the Electoral College is the CFR? Did I hear him say that right?
I did. I just said that precisely. The Electoral College is the CFR.
And you know, that's why, okay, so because people say, well, what does the CFR have to do? Council on Foreign Relations, you know, you talk about these groups and the globalist groups and these anti-constitutional groups. Well, you just heard that. That's right. And isn't that interesting? And that explanation was fantastic. Thank you for that. I wonder how many people could.
I just quoted what the Constitution says. Everybody with their saving the Constitution could have picked up the book, turned to that, and read it with me.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's also the place where it says there'll be 30,000 per representative, too.
Precisely. And that's what, folks, that's why you need this book. It's just that simple. That's what you can get from saving the Constitution. If that's not a reason to buy this and read it, I don't know what is. That was fantastic. But how corrupted has this become? And to think this started since 1796.
Yeah, we haven't had a president properly elected since that election, 1796. Because in that election, we had the proper Electoral College still functioning. And we had it in both elections for Washington still functioning. But by 1800, it was gone. The political parties took it over. They didn't tell anybody they took it over.
Right.
Everybody says destroy the Electoral College. What they're really saying is destroy the CFR. But they don't know they're saying that, because the CFR is not telling them. I'm sorry, guys. This is the stuff you learn in my books. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wander around and say, I wonder what. It's all in the books. Every bit of it.
Exactly. And I delight in researching the Liberty series, by the way. And when you talk about the Council on Foreign Relations, and you talk about the Trilateral Commission, you talk about other groups and other reasons why we're here today. I mean, it's delightful. You make it very easy for me.
It isn't really tough, but they use words a little different than everybody's thinking about. And people miss sentences, like the very last sentence in Article 5. Almost nobody ever reads the very last sentence in Article 5. And in Article 3, paragraph, I think it's Section 2, the last paragraph in that, in there says that the Congress controls the Supreme Court. It does say that, but nobody knows that it says that. And nobody knows that in the first section of the Supreme Court, Article 3, it does not say that they're for life, the terms for life. It does not say that. It says a term is for term of good behavior. It does not say it's for life. Well, there's all kinds of things we don't know that we think we know. All kinds of things.
And by the way, you mentioned the Supreme Court. I just want to toss this out there. You mentioned the Supreme Court. Nine robed individuals.
What good. Nine robed people.
It's with the decision that we saw this couple of days ago with respect to the Louisiana decision about the killing of unborn children. It's just amazing to me. You said Congress oversees the Supreme Court. Man, I'll tell you what. You talk about a rogue agency, a rogue element, is SCOTUS. I don't know.
If you want to really read an interesting thing about the Supreme Court, I think Mark Levin is the author, and the book is called Men in Black, and it isn't anything about the movie. He gives an analysis of the Supreme Court for years, and the people, and what they do, and what they're like, and what's been going on for back decades. And it's an excellent discussion. Outstanding. Mark Levin, Levin.
Right.
But the book is Men in Black.
Yep.
That book will tell you what the Supreme Court, what the people that have been on the Supreme Court have been like. And by the time you get finished with that, you'll wonder why there hasn't been some impeachments. You know, they only serve for until good behavior, on good behavior. And good behavior, what does that mean? What does good behavior mean? Well, good behavior would mean you don't go to Europe to learn how Europe does their laws so that you can change our constitution to be like Europe. That's not good behavior.
That's impeachable behavior, in my view, right?
Yes, that's impeachable behavior. Well, you're going to discover when you read my book about the Supreme Court that they go to Europe regularly to learn how Europe does stuff so they can do it here better. They do it today.
Yeah, and it was Ginsburg, I believe, that was talking about the European – or something about making – basing her decisions on the European model of the Constitution as opposed to the United States Constitution.
Yes.
I thought that was great. Yeah. What an example. And again, you know, this is what you learn in the Liberty series, but in all of Dr. Proctor's books, including and especially Saving the Constitution. Please, folks, Saving the Constitution. This is – the book to grab all along. Go to provostinstitute.com. Since I'm having trouble talking today, it must have been that interrupted night I had. Saving the Constitution.
Or it was that stuff you started the thing with, which got me so angry.
Yeah, really. Incredible stuff too. You find when you look and you search. But I want to thank the individuals who sent me that document. But anyway, Saving the Constitution, this is what you need, folks, in your library. But read it and actually buy a copy for a friend. Go to provostinstitute.com. That's provostinstitute.com. And buy two copies, one for yourself and one for a friend. Gift it out. All right. We got about
now, let me mention one more thing. Let me mention one more thing about all my books. I'm going to interrupt you for just a second.
No, take it.
Every one of my books has an index in the back in which I have laboriously, I'll use that term, even though it's more than two syllables. It's been a real effort. It is a real effort. Every one of my books has an index with every important word that I discovered in the book and every page it's on. So if you're looking for the Electoral College, you can pick up the series of the Liberty series, and you can go to the back of every book or jot down every page the Electoral College is discussed, and you can go look at all of those pages and see all of the different things about the Electoral College that were written in the entire series. You don't have to read the whole series over again to find them. It's done that way. I'm so irritated when I read a book, let's say a set of volumes, 6 or 7 volumes, and there's a particular thing that I really liked. I can't find it because there's no index to direct me there. So if you want to read something that tells you about ineptocracy, well, you just have to look up the word ineptocracy. You'll find it, and it'll tell you where to go, tell you where to see it. You go on the third volume, page 92. But nonetheless, if you don't know that, you just look up the book, look it up. It's there. Any word that I thought was important. And as time passes and people say to me, oh, there's some other words that are important, I'll add them in because I'll add them in as I can. I'll add them in. I want to get everything in that people say so it's available. Anyway, every book has every word. Indexes are pretty long. Pretty long.
Manually indexed. I don't know anyone else who has done that. Manually indexed for your convenience. I'm telling you. Ineptocracy is how I like to pronounce it, but I think that should be the word of the week.
I like ineptocracy. You say it how you want. I'll say it how I want.
And you know,
and some will understand you and some will understand me.
And sometimes I don't even understand myself because I end up saying ineptocracy. So, you know, and with mass, it's in. So, yeah. But that should be the word of the week, I think. What we're seeing is exactly that, folks. And hey, you want a definition, you want examples, go to the Liberty Series, provostinstitute.com. So I'm going to give you the remaining time. Wherever you want to take it, whatever you want to talk about. If you want to talk about, chocolate chip cookie recipes, go ahead. But, the time is yours.
By Jove, you know, I think that I've had almost 2 hours of time is mine today.
Well,
I think I've interrupted you for an hour and 45 minutes over and over again to say the things I wanted to say.
People can hear me anytime.
I want to say this. I would like to say this. You know, this document I wrote, Action Against Rogue Government Officials.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to get in trouble for some of the things I'm writing and saying and doing. Nonetheless, I'm writing and saying and doing them. I'll send that out to anybody who asks, just the same as I send out the other stuff that anybody that asks. And you've got my email address on the website, so you can get it. But it is provost@somega.com. That's what it is. But you know, it's there available for you on the website. I people ask for these things, I send them to them. Just takes me a second. I've got a message part. You send me a request for it. I just say reply, bungo. Here it is. That's all. I can do it quickly. Because if I couldn't do it quickly, I couldn't do it at all. So that's important. Guys, I will take some time just to talk about where I think we are in the United States of America today. We have been living, slowly living in an environment in our country for 200 years that's been slowly taken over by forces that are against our principles. Against our republic. Those people have taken nibbles here and nibbles there. When Roosevelt was in office, he went to a CFR, he went to an elite member called Felix Frankfurter, who was on the Supreme Court, and got his advice of what to do there. That was one of the group that influenced him, and he went the direction of all those things that he did that were unfit to do during the 30s. The Depression was extended because of the actions he took, because of the actions he was given by Felix Frankfurter. But anyway, we have been nibbled at. We have been slowly, insidiously destroyed. Every year it's gotten worse and worse and worse. We lost our gold standard, the standard of our money in the 30s, 33, 34. We lost the international standard in 70 by Nixon. And that's very important because you see, we had a gold standard and then we had one still going on by the 70s. And then that was taken away because the people who wanted it taken away did it. Nixon was controlled. Yeah, Kissinger sat right next to him and made sure that he did it. Kissinger was the assistant president for Nixon, and he made sure those things happened, and Nixon did them. Well, you see, what we're talking about here is the slow control. People say, no, we want to get back to gold. Gold and silver is our backing. Can't be done today. Can't be done. Yeah, there's too much gold and we have too much money to be backed by gold and silver. Never should have been, because gold and silver is not a measurement of the wealth of the country. Production is a measure of the wealth of the country. And that's discussed in my economics books. But the point I make is that gold and silver would be still there if we hadn't taken it, hadn't been taken away, and it was taken away very quietly by this group that wants to destroy our country. All of these things happen very slowly. Another book that you want to get your hands on is Philip Drew Administrator, written by House back in 1911. It's the book that was used as a blueprint for Wilson in his term and has been used as a blueprint since then. And we've just about completed all the steps in Philip Drew Administrator. It's all written down. There's nothing hidden. I have the report on the Iron Mountain Conference. I have their full report. I've read it completely through. Things aren't hidden. You just have to look for them. We must learn what's going on. People say, well, you always talk about reading and that kind of stuff in books, and I don't have time. Folks, if you don't have time to read a book today, you don't have time to save your future life and your grandchildren's life. That's what you're really saying. You're putting your grandchildren's life on the line because you're not taking time to find out what this country is really all about and what's been happening to us. I wrote this series, all these books, because I just wanted to write it down so it would be available. It wasn't until this year that it became so absolutely important, but I didn't know that when I started in 2006 writing these things down and doing the newsletter for 6 years. I didn't know that. What I'm trying to say is, folks, we need to know where we are, why we got here, and how we can go back. As I've said in many, many presentations I've done to small and large audiences, you never can fix something you don't know anything about. If you don't know something about it, you don't know it's broken. I will suspect that 90% of the people that I have talked to in this audience, starting from the first day I talked about the Electoral College and the election of the president, didn't know that the Electoral College hasn't been used since 1796. But everybody could have known if they just read their Constitution and paid attention to history. They could have known. But they didn't, because we put a lot of things in front of it. Well, now what I've done, I know it's 2,200 pages long. My whole thing is 3,000 pages long, but that series, Liberty Series, what I've done is I've taken in 2,000 pages, written the course of what's happened to us for the last 200 plus years, so that you can easily see it without doing all the research I had to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's all. And I know that $120 is expensive. I know that, but I also know it's $20 a book. And I also know you don't have to spend 55 years of study. You don't have it, by the way. Mm. I guess some people do. They're only 30, 20, and 30. They have 55 years. But they're going to do something else, like earn a living. So what I'm saying is, it's available. It's a reference book, not a novel. It's not fiction. You're not going to read page one, page two, page three, and see, oh, boy, this is – if you do that, you'll get more out of it because you'll see the sequence. But if you don't, you can look, you can use it as a reference book, because every important word, if you're looking for the word communism, you look it up in all the books, the word is used a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do that, you'll have a real study of communism, socialism, free enterprise. Those things are used. So I'm done.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're at the end of the program. I want to thank you so much for your gracious gift of time again this evening. Liberty versus freedom, some things to think about, especially in the shadow or in the upcoming Independence Day holiday for America. And will it be our last? That's a question. But go to provisinstitute.com. That's provisinstitute.com for Saving the Constitution. You need that book, especially, well, now more than ever. Folks, I want to thank you so much. Randy Taylor tomorrow, first hour Intel analyst, coming in from the cold And that's Randy Taylor tomorrow, as well as Tyler Quayle going to make an appearance as well. And, Patreon meeting this Sunday night. And one more thing, HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Don't forget, buy some coffee. Help save a child. That's going to do it for me tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.